We're doing the book of Micha, and we're up to the third chapter, Pasuk Aleph. Va'omar Shimuna Rashei Yaakov Uktzinei Beit Yisrael. And I said, says the prophet, listen, the heads of Jacob, and Ktzinei. Ktzin is like a leader, a ruler. In modern Hebrew, Ktzin is a corporal or a, I don't know, yeah, a corporal. Okay. So in Tanakh, Katzin means some kind of officer or governor. Uktzinei Beit Yisrael, and the leaders of the house of Israel. The Navi is turning to the leadership, and he says, Halo lachem ladat et hamishpat. Your responsibility is to know, to ensure that justice is met in the land, that people do see justice. So you're really responsible for this, the Navi is saying. And the truth is that you're not only shying away from your responsibility of ensuring that justice is met, but quite the contrary. You hate good, you yourself hate good, and you yourself love that which is bad. Notice that Tov and Ra in Tanakh are almost always a reference between man and his fellow man. Rasha and Tzaddik is between man and God, and Tov and Ra is between man and his fellow man. Yeah.
What does that mean in the situation of Etz, of like the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Like, it seems like they ate it, like it affected more the relationship between God and man. Or
think that there's I don't know, I have to think about it.
The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Tov and Ra, like it seems like it affected more the relationship between God and man rather than between man and his fellow man. Like when they ate it.
Maybe not. Maybe it already then affected the relationship between
Adam and Papa, maybe?
Or no.
Just the future.
I never thought about it. You know, thinking about it opens up a range of possibilities in my mind, but I have to think about it. I don't know. You know, what George is suggesting has a basis in the Midrash. I mean, we learned in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer a frightening line. It says, when Eve ate from the forbidden fruit, she saw the angel of death coming towards her. Okay. But then Eve said, now I'm going to die and Adam will marry someone else. That's her thoughts. You know, there's not a woman in the world yet. But her thoughts are, I'm going to die and he's going to marry someone else. You know, the fact that she's going to die is like a half a problem. But the fact that he's going to marry someone else, that always struck me, that line. But maybe what George is suggesting, maybe there's something to that. That after eating from the forbidden fruit, suddenly we find jealousy in the world. Suddenly we find her view of her own spouse is different. Maybe. I'm suggesting. I don't know. I have to think about it. I don't know. But it's not my own thought. It's a Gemara. You know, the Gemara says, Imru tzaddik kitov kifrim alehem yochelu. The verse says about a tzaddik who's good. So the Gemara says what? Is there a tzaddik who's good and a tzaddik who's bad? The Gemara says tzaddik between man and God. Good between man and his fellow man. The next verse says, Oy la rasha ra. Woe to the wicked who's bad. So the Gemara says, are there wicked who are good and wicked who are bad? So the Gemara says, yes. Rasha is between man and God. Ra is between man and his fellow man. That's a Gemara. Now, the Rosh, in his commentary on Mishnah's Run, the Mishnah in Peah, that discusses the mitzvahs that we have between us and our fellow men, and that you eat the fruits in this world and the next world. So he discusses the weight of different mitzvot, and the Rosh over there seems to understand that this Gemara is applicable not only to that Pasuk, but rather it's a more general concept. And so do we find in other commentaries that there seems to be an understanding that this is not only, it's not only what we call nekudati, it's not only a localized comment, but it seems to be a more global comment on the difference between rasha and ra and tov and tzaddik. But I have to think and I have to research a little bit, and I don't see myself having the time to do it, so for now it'll have to remain as an interesting thought to ponder. But our rule in Torah, by the way, is divrei Torah ani'im b'makom echad asherim b'makom acher. The words of Torah are called poor in one area and rich in another area. Meaning, very often the question you have over here, you won't answer for years until you find the answer somewhere else. The things in Torah, sometimes that's the way it works. You don't find the answer locally. You have to find it globally. You learn more and more and more. Finally, you get some answers for other things. And part of learning is knowing how to shelve questions. To say, this is a good question, I'll put it in the back of my mind, and I'll bear it in mind, and with time I'll find the answers. Were you there when we went on our trip to the Kotel in the beginning of the year?
I don't think so.
Okay, because at the end of that trip, so one of the guys asked me, what'd you learn today? It was the beginning of the year. So I said, I shared with them an answer that I got from a Rashi. Then it must have been Baba Metzia or Baba Basra or Rashi over there.
Oh,
you were there. And I told them that.
We went to that synagogue and we sat.
Right. I thought you were there. I think we have pictures of you there. So I told them that this Rashi answered a question I've had for over 10 years on a Rambam. So yeah, you shelve a question and you say, I don't understand this Rambam. And every time I came across that Rambam, I didn't understand it. And after all these years, finally I found the Rashi that answered that Rambam. Okay, that's the way Torah works. You don't always have the answer on hand. So here we'll also have to shelve the question. And Bezrat Hashem, we'll get an answer. We will, but I don't know when. So if you get it first, tell me.
Okay? Just told to be wrong.
Right, I don't know that I'll remember to call you, and I do, even though you should know that we had a class this year that answered a question that someone asked in class years ago, and I called him up to let him know. Yosef Radakis asked us a question once about when do you comfort a person by telling him, I'm with you, and when should you comfort a person by telling him, I know it's really hard. Uh-huh. A few years ago, Yosef Radakis asked, sometimes people want to hear from you, it's really hard, and sometimes people want to hear it's not so bad. How do you know which way to comfort a person? And I found the Rambam that deals with that question exactly. And I called him up. Sometimes I do remember. Sometimes. Okay, back to our pasuk. If I remember, yeah, there's lots of. Okay. Sonei tov ve'oavei ra. So the Navi says to the leaders, you hate good and you love bad. You hate doing good and you love to do bad. Gozelei oram me'aleihem usheram me'al atzmotam. The Navi says, you yourselves are the thieves. You're supposed to ensure that there's justice in the land. Not only aren't you ensuring the justice, you yourself are the thieves. You steal the skin off of the people, and you, after that you skin you take their flesh off their bones. So, okay, he's exaggerating, but his point is, you're taking everything you could away from the people, as though, what can you take away from a person? Well, he's got skin, he's got flesh, and then he's got bones. So first you skin him, then you take the flesh, and you leave him with their bones. That's the way the Navi is expressing how much thievery is going on. V'asher achelu she'er ami ve'oram me'aleihem hifshitu ve'et atzmoteihem pitzeichu. And they who ate the flesh of my nation, she'er is like the flesh, right? A person's wife is called she'er bisaro, the flesh that's an extension of his own flesh. So they who ate the flesh of my nation, and when Hashem speaks about ami, my nation, usually Hashem is talking about the tzaddikim. When Hashem speaks about ha'am hazeh, this nation, Hashem doesn't call them my nation. So sometimes it's the wicked among the nations. Sometimes it's even the Erev Rav, not even the Jews, the people who tagged along. So Hashem says, and they who ate the flesh of my nation, the flesh of the tzaddikim, ve'oram me'aleim ifshitu, and skinned their hide, their skin off of them, ve'et atzmotehim titzechu, and they cracked open the bones to eat the marrow. Again, he's exaggerating. Ufarisu kasher basir uchevasar betoch kalachat, and they sliced the bones the way bones are sliced when you put them in a pot, when you cook them, and when you put them in a broth. So again, he's exaggerating. He's saying you guys, I don't know, here in Israel they don't do this, but in the States they do this a lot, where you could go to the butcher and he has the bones that he cut up, and for sometimes for free and sometimes for almost for free, you get the bones and you put them in the chont, and it adds flavor to the soup or whatever it is you're cooking, because bones have flavor. So the Navi says, here we're talking about human beings. They're skinning them, they're taking their flesh, and that's not enough. They try to get the last drop out of them. So they'll break open the bones, take out the marrow, and then they'll slice the bones to cook in the broth in their pot. And the Navi is referencing the fact that they take the last penny, the last ounce of strength out of the poor. Az yizakuhu el Adonai velo yaneh otam v'yastel panav mehem ba'et ayi kasher hireyu ma'alilehem. Hashem says, and because of this, when harm comes, when the destruction comes to the land of Israel, they will call out to Hashem, and Hashem won't answer them. Hashem will hide His face from them, meaning Hashem won't give them hashgacha. We said there are levels of punishment. The first level is that Hashem says, okay, I'm out. I'm not getting involved. The first level of punishment is where Hashem says, I will not actively help, but I will not actively harm. Nature on its own is your enemy. In a sense, nature is antithetical to the existence of the Jewish people. It's something that it requires, like we saw in our Aran class, in order for us to exist, it requires something that's supernatural. Supernatural strength is required to maintain the people of Israel around. We say it three times a day. What do we say in Shemona Esrei? Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vanora. And Chazal say, what are we saying when we say that line? Hey, look around. Up until 50 years ago, what did you see? You saw that we were the most downtrodden people, the people who were scoffed, scorned, exploited, hurt. How can we say that God is Akel HaGadol, HaGibor VaNora, when His home is being plundered, His people are being plundered? Where do you see a reference to this concept that God is powerful, awesome, mighty? Chazal said, our existence, that's it. The fact that everyone wants to annihilate us, everyone's looking for the final solution, and we're still around. There was a famous historian, I think it was Kloisner, when he went and visited Rome, so he saw an idol of the Caesar. So he's an old man, and his family sees him walking over to this idol and mumbling. So they think the man's gone mad. And he's talking to the idol. And they're all looking at him and say, What are you doing? So he said, I'm telling him, Caesar, Caesar, where are you and where are we? You came and destroyed our temple. You came with the intent of annihilating the existence of the Jewish people. You said, I will assimilate them, I will destroy them, I will see to it that there's nothing left of them. Your plan failed. We are still around. The Jewish people are extant, we're here, we're vibrant, and we're a living people. Whereas Rome and everything you stood for is merely a historical fact. Everyone studies about Rome in world history, but no one says, oh, there are the Romans today. No. Everything you stood for has fallen to the pages of history, and everything we stood for is still around and active. You failed. I'm still here. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So he said that's what he was whispering to this idol. So we say it every day. Hashem says, the fact that you exist is supernatural. And the first level of punishment is, v'yastel panav mehem ve'etahi. God will hide His face from them. Kasher hireu ma'asehem, Hashem says, just as they hid their faces when they were harming the poor, when they were afflicting others and they were doing injustices, so then the poor would try to plead before them, And then they'd hide their faces. They weren't available. You couldn't get an appointment with them. You couldn't get to talk to them. So they weren't available for the people as they were harming them. I also won't be available for them. I will hide my face for them, from them. Ko amar Adonai al hanevi'im hamatim et ami hanoshechim b'shineihem v'kareu shalom v'asher lo yiten al pihem v'kideshu alav milchama. So said Hashem to the prophets, the false prophets who are misleading my nation. Ko amar Hashem al hanevi'im hamatim et ami. They're misleading my nation. Hanoshechim b'shineihem, that as they are biting with their teeth to eat from the nation, they're consuming the nation, and as they're destroying the nation, the kareu shalom, they're giving prophecies that will placate the nation. They're saying everything will be peaceful, everything's going to be okay. And whoever doesn't feed them, asher lo yiten al pihem, and whoever doesn't give them their stipend, their money, their food, so then v'kidushu alav milchama, they prophesize that he will suffer, war will come and hurt him. Lachen laila lachem mechazon v'chashecha lachem mikesom. Hashem says there will be darkness upon you because of your false prophecies, because of your sorcery, it will darken upon you. Uva Hashemesh ala neviim v'kadar aleihem hayom. The sun will set upon these prophets, and the day will turn dark upon them, meaning Hashem saying there will be great harm coming upon these false prophets. And again, the Navi is using poetic form, repeating the concept in different words. Uvoshu hachozim v'chaferu hakosimim v'atu al safam kulam ki ein ma'anei Elohim. Hashem says, uvoshu hachozim, and then these people who, so to speak, see, Chose is one who sees, these people who have visions, they will see that all their visions are false, and they will be embarrassed. V'chaferu ha-kosmim, and the sorcerers will be shamed. V'atu al safam kulam, they will all suddenly cover their lips the way mourners do. Ki ein ma'ane Elokim, because whatever they've said is not really the word of God, they've made up their prophecies. Ve'ulam anochi maleti choach et ruach Adonai u'mishpat u'gvurah. But I, says the Navi, I'm a true prophet. I'm filled with the strength of God. Hashem has told me what to tell you. I'm telling you the truth when I warn that destruction is imminent. Lagid liyakov pisho ul Yisrael chatato. I'm not practicing sycophancy like these false prophets, but I'm telling Jacob what their sins are. I'm telling Israel what their sins are. I'm doing what God told me. So I'm turning to the leaders and I say, Shim'una zot rashei beit Yaakov uktinei beit Yisrael. Please hear this, the heads of Jacob. Hear this, the leaders of the house of Israel. Hamtavim mishpat v'et kol yishara ye'akeshu. You who destroy justice, you who are disgusted and disgrace justice, that kol yishara, and all that is straight, all that is honest, ye'akeshu, you twist. Bonetzion bedamim v'Yerushalayim be'avla. Everyone builds their palace in Zion with the blood of other people. They take other people's wealth to build their own home. And they build Jerusalem, they build houses in Jerusalem, be'avla, with sin. Hashem says, you, the leaders, you all have nice homes and you build them with other people's blood, you build them with sin. Rasheha b'shochad yishpotu v'chohaneha b'mchir yoruhu unviyeha b'chesef yiksomu. The heads of Jerusalem, b'shochad yishpotu, you guys judge with bribes, v'chohaneha b'mchir yoruhu, and the kohanim, the priests who are supposed to guide the people and tell them the laws of the Torah, they do it with a price, meaning you give them a price, they'll tell you what you want to hear. Unviyeha b'chesef yiksomu, and its prophets are false prophets. They do their sorcery with money. You give them money and they'll give you good words of false prophecy. ועל אדוני ישענו לאמור, הלא אדוני בקרבנו, לא תבוא עלינו רעה. And then they lean on God, and in spite of all their sins, they say, nothing bad can happen. God has his temple here. God's not going to let his own home be destroyed. You can be sure destruction will not come. And this is really, this is an amazing prophecy to learn as we're approaching Shabbat Chazon, as we're approaching the 9 days. We have to realize where the people were standing before the destruction of the first temple. No one believed there would be destruction in Israel. The nations didn't believe it. Even the false prophets didn't believe it, because everyone knew that God had his house here. Everyone knew that God's temple was in Jerusalem. So people were confident, whatever we do, he's not going to destroy his own house. He's not going to let it happen. And that's why when it finally happened, the people were in complete shock. They said, how could that be? Must be that God isn't interested in us anymore. Must be God deserted us. And that's why the description of the first destruction in Tanakh is referenced as God's forgetting the people. You see, even the end of Eicha, the conclusion of Eicha is, Lama lanetzach tishkachenu? God, how could you forget us for eternity? The focus is forgetfulness, so to speak. Can it be God forgot us? How could that happen? In Isaiah also we see it. Just 1 second. Yes, Yosef. Rav Neria quotes this pasuk and says exactly what you said. Rav Neria quotes this pasuk and says that people quote Rav Kook and say a Zion will not fall again and there won't be a third destruction, and people say all kinds of lines that have no basis. Rav Neria says that, and I'll tell you the truth. If people would really learn what Rav Kook says, so then they'd know that Rav Kook himself wrote that this coming of the people to Israel can take one of two paths. It can either become suffused with Torah and be successful, or become a secular state and self-destruct. He said one of two things will happen here. If it remains a secular state, if it's drawn down to the secular, it will self-destruct, he says. Not be destroyed from the outside, destroyed from the inside. And if it goes in the direction of Torah, then it will thrive and it could lead to all the good things Rav Kook spoke about. But that's a line in Rav Kook that people don't quote.
Why not?
Because everyone likes to think about all the redemption Rav Kook spoke about. You know, people don't know that Rav Kook also warned that this whole potential of redemption is a potential. It's a question of what we do with it. Okay. Ask them, don't ask me. What can I say? I'm telling you, Rav Kook said it can go either way.
Self-destruct meaning that
original. We have to learn the thing inside. Yeah.
It seems like this is very clear that this prophecy, you know, we had a discussion before, like whether this is a prophecy about the northern tribes of the southern kingdom. I think that this is pretty obvious that at least here he's talking about the southern kingdom because that's where the temple is.
It seems that way, but he keeps talking about Beit Yisrael and Beit Yaakov, so I'm not sure how to understand that.
Yeah, because
this part of the prophecy seems very clear that it's about the south. I agree. And the next pasuk also. The next pasuk is all about Zion and Jerusalem. So it seems like it's talking about the southern kingdom, but I'm not sure it's to the exclusion of the northern kingdom. One of the things we see, and we see it in the prophecies of Isaiah, and the prophecy we'll read next week, Shabbat Chazon, is that in Jerusalem specifically, there was great injustice. And to the point where, how do we conclude next week's Haftarah? Zion b'mishpat tipadeh v'shaveha b'tzdaka. Zion will be redeemed with justice. It's like the key point. Justice. Lachen biglalchem tzion sade techaresh. Because of you, because of your sins, you the leaders, you who are responsible for justice, because of your injustice, Zion will be plowed like a field. The enemy will come, as we know they did, and they plowed Jerusalem and they sowed it with salt. Virushalayim iyin tiyeh, and Jerusalem will become filled with piles of stones from the ruins of buildings. And the Temple Mount will be also filled with piles of stones, and it'll be like the piles of stones you can find throughout a forest. That what happens is in the forest, as the trees grow, so the roots, as they spread, they keep pushing up stones, and you cut down the trees, and then you have stumps all over, right? So that's like Bamot Yah, wherever you go throughout the forest, you see stones strewn all over, you see stumps everywhere you go. No one cares what it looks like. It's the forest. It's no one's home. So Hashem says, Har HaBayit, the Temple Mount, which is supposed to be Yar Levanon, which is supposed to be the beautiful forest of Lebanon. That's Har HaBayit is called Yar Levanon, from the word Lavan, white and clean. The Har HaBayit is supposed to cleanse us of our sins. It's supposed to be like a beautiful forest. It's going to be Levamot Yar, like a forest that when you go there, you see piles of stones strewn all over, you see stumps strewn all over, because no one cares. It's the forest. Hashem says, that's what Har HaBayit is going to look like. That's what the Temple Mount will look like. And in order not to end on a bad note, we'll read the next pasuk. V'haya ba'acharit hayamim. In the end of days, in the days of the Mashiach, Yiyeh har beit Adonai nachon b'rosh harim v'nisahu migevaot. The Temple Mount, the mountain of the house of Hashem, will be nachon, will be fixed, will be set b'rosh harim, atop all the mountains, v'nisahu migevaot, and it will be higher than all the hills, v'naru alav amim, and nations will flock around the Temple Mount. And the nations will say, as we will read, the nations will say, let's go up to the Temple Mount, let God teach us, let's get Torah from there, and then God will judge between the nations, and they will turn their swords to plowshares, etc., as we will see Be'ezrat Hashem next week. The beautiful prophecies of all the good that's waiting for us. Be'ezrat Hashem. We have a long way to go till we finish. So, next week we'll learn that.